Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 24, 2015. The African Union Commission of Inquiry on South Sudan releases its report on the alleged crimes committed during South Sudan's 19-month-long conflict.
The African Union Peace and Security Council is saying very clearly that this report is really, the purpose is to assist the IGAD peace process, to bring peace to the people of South Sudan, to bring reconciliation.
And IGAD Plus hands over its proposed compromise peace deal to negotiators for the government and the SPLM in opposition in Addis Ababa.
The opposition negotiators have a concern regarding the power sharing issue included in that document. They believe the agreement gives 53% of the ministerial positions to the government in power.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The African Union Peace and Security Council has released the report of the Commission of Inquiry into alleged atrocities committed during South Sudan's conflict. The commission is headed by the former Nigerian president, Olusegun Obasanjo, who was supposed to present the findings of the commission last year after visiting South Sudan in April. The African Union did not explain why the report was not released on time. U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, urged the African Union Security Council earlier this year to release the commission's finding and hold individuals accountable who are cited in the report. A leaked version of this report was circulated to the media in March of this year after the warring parties failed to reach a deal in Addis Ababa in March. South Sudan's foreign minister says his government is satisfied with the final report released today in Addis Ababa. Barnaba Marial says the report did not mention any acts of genocide in Juba in December 2013 when fighting broke out. Marial says the report has recommendations which his government will address.
The Republic of South Sudan was invited by the African Union Peace and Security Council to attend the Obasanjo's report, which was today open to the public and also to the African Union. As you remember, the African Union Peace and Security Council had initially said this report was to be kept until at a certain time. So today, South Sudan was invited and speeches were given, and we gave our statement with regards to the report being released. So the report has been released today.
And what is in the report exactly? What is the African Union saying about its inquiry in South Sudan?
The African Union Peace and Security Council is saying very clearly that this report is really, the purpose is to assist the IGAD peace process, to bring peace to the people of South Sudan, to bring reconciliation, to bring accountability and all other issues related to the peace process. First of all, that African problems to be resolved with African solutions, and that this is totally a responsibility of IGAD peace process and the African Union. Secondly, it said very clearly that there was no crimes of genocide committed. What happened? It was an intensive fighting within South Sudan, but it does not amount to genocide, which is, I think is very, very important, which has been the position of the government all along.
There was a leaked report that was circulating in March earlier this year. Is the report that was released today different from the leaked report?
It is completely different the way we see it. And as you remember, President Obasanjo, who is the chair of the inquiry commission on South Sudan, actually denied that initially. And the report of today is completely different from the leaked one.
And in the leaked report, there were some senior government officials mentioned that who were, implicated in the fighting in Juba. Is there any mention of any individual in this report of today?
No individuals or names have not been released. No, they have not been mentioned in this. There were no names or personalities named in this report released today.
you were saying that this report, according to the African Union Peace and Security, they are saying this report will help bring peace in South Sudan. How will it help?
The intention of this report is to identify what were the reasons, the genesis of the crisis itself. And I understand in the genesis, they have also recommended a lot of things to be done to the African Union. The report has recommended that the capacity needs to be supported in South Sudan, and that our institutions needs to be strengthened, and that the international community in Africa should help to strengthen these institutions, whether in the governance sector, whether in the judicial sector, whether in the security sector, whether it is the police, the civil society. They made a lot of recommendations that need to strengthen the young government of the Republic of South Sudan.
And how about...
So they have actually enumerated a lot of recommendations. Also, the accountability will be there. But they say the first thing that peace, you cannot put the cart really before the horse. We should have peace, and accountability will definitely follow, so that those who have committed some of the human rights abuses will have to be brought to book.
And who committed this human rights abuse?
When the investigations will go into detail, that will become a legal issue once the legal structures are formed. And these the investigation, those are the details of investigations carried out. That is the time, I think, when the individuals will have to be identified. Because, you know, when the crime is committed, there must be a complaint. There is a procedure, a legal procedure will have to follow. You don't drag people to court because somebody went and reported that this person has abused this thing. You have now to form the institutions, the legal structures, which should be African, mostly of the African Union, including also the legal structures within South Sudan. I mean, should be a part of that according to recommendation.
That's South Sudan's Foreign Minister, Barnaba Marial Benjamin. He was speaking to me from Addis Ababa earlier today. Meanwhile, the rebels of the SPLM in opposition have protested to the African Union Peace and Security Council for not inviting former Vice President Riek Machar to the launch of the Commission of Inquiry report. Machar's spokesman, James Gadet Dag, says the African Union is not transparent in dealing with South Sudan's warring parties.
We are not happy because we are supposed to be in a meeting that took place today, Friday, in Addis Ababa on the report of atrocities committed in South Sudan. The AU's Peace and Security Council met today and invited the government of Salva Kiir, which is the perpetrator in the war, and discussed with them the report on atrocities, and they could not invite us.
And have you been in touch with the African Union Commission of Inquiry since the report was written?
Yes, of course. As you can recall, our chairman met with the chairperson of the AU's commission, Dr. Zuma, on 15th of July. They discussed the importance of the report to be released. They also discussed the importance that the two parties should attend the meeting of the foreign ministers of the African Union. This was the understanding. But when the meeting took place today, we were not invited. We were not served with a copy. The government was the only party that was invited and was served with a copy. We are not happy with this. This is a serious dishonesty and lack of transparency on the part of the Peace and Security Council.
And now that the report is out, are you going to accept the recommendations and the findings in the report?
Well, we have not been part of the discussions today. We have not received the report. We have not discussed, we have not seen it, the content of the report. We want to have a copy of the report and see what the contents are so that we know what the recommendations are. Up to now, we have not seen what the recommendations are in the report.
And you're saying that there is lack of transparency here, but my understanding is that the African Union is a neutral body. It does not side with any side in this conflict. Why would you say they are not transparent?
This is what we all thought of. Unfortunately, we are surprised by this move of the African Union, that they only invited one party to the conflict and discussed with that only party the contents of the report. While the report is about the atrocities committed in South Sudan by the warring parties, why should they only be inviting one party and refusing to invite the other. So this is a lack of transparency. How would they discuss the report in the absence of the other party?
What is your next course of action moving forward? What is your next course of action?
Well, we have asked the African Union Peace and Security Council to serve us with the report and also to ensure that we are participants in any other discussions in the matter.
That's James Gadet Dak, the spokesman in the office of the rebel leader Riek Machar. He was speaking to me from Nairobi earlier today. While the Commission of Inquiry report was being released, the ceremony to hand over a draft compromise peace agreement for the warring parties by the group known as IGAD Plus was held nearby in Addis Ababa. Our reporter, Skender Friel, who is there, and tells South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme several speakers lined up to speak at today's event.
Chief opposition negotiator Taban Dengai said they will look at the document, they will study it, and they will come back with a positive contribution. That's what he said. He did not go to the details of the document. He did not talk about the power sharing, the security arrangement, and all the issues that are included in the document. The chief government negotiator, General Nyal Deng Nyal, on his part, said that they will study the document and they will come back for a negotiation on August 5th. Other than that, both sides did not go through the details of the document.
Even though neither side went through the details of the document, have you heard any rumors? Do you know what's involved in the document that's different from previous draft agreements?
We know that, the opposition negotiators have a concern regarding the power sharing issue included in that document. They believe the agreement gives 53% of the ministerial positions to the government in power, and they say they can accept the document as a negotiation document. But if it is given as on take it and leave it, Chief Opposition Negotiator Taban Dengai told me in June when the summary of this document was handed over to them at first, it's difficult for his document to them as on a leave it or take it basis. He says it's difficult for them to accept it and it cannot bring peace to South Sudan.
All right, specifically, Skender, what have you heard about the issue of the two armies? There was talk that the rebel side was not going to budge on its insistence of having two armies coexist during the transitional government period. Is there anything new on that front?
No. What the document says on this issue is there will be two separate armies for 18 months of the transitional period, and President Salva Kiir Mayardit and Dr. Riek Machar will lead their separate armies. But after 18 months of the transitional government of national unity, the two armies will be united under a single command, and they will be led by the President of the Republic of South Sudan, Salva Kiir Mayardit. So that has been included in the original document, and it's still there now.
Hey, did you hear anything today from the speakers that was different from what you've heard previously?
Well, one of the speakers was U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan in South Sudan, Ambassador Donald Booth. He said that he believes the proposed agreement offers the best way to peace for South Sudan. And he also warned that if the parties again reject peace, the IGAD Plus are collectively committed to applying punitive measures against those who do so, who are responsible.
That's reporter Skender Friel speaking to Carol Van Damme from Addis Ababa, where a draft agreement by IGAD Plus was handed over today to negotiators for the government and the rebels. The group referred to as IGAD Plus is made up of United Nations, the European Union, the African Union, five African nations, China, Norway, the UK, and the United States. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, MSF says people in Upper Nile need urgent medical care. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? people speak out on important questions. The question today.
Describe an awkward situation you experienced at school.
Okay, like the awkward experience is it's always my first day at school because you don't know anyone there. You're scared. You don't know everything. So I could find it so hard. Way back, even now when I come to campus, after a semester, I find you guys. So it's kind of freaks me out, you know.
An awkward situation I've experienced for real was when I was in P6. We are supposed to act a drama in front of parents. But that time, we are playing a comedy. But to me, that comedy, I was laughing in the places where I'm not supposed to laugh. So it was so embarrassing to me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The medical charity group Medicine Sans Frontiers, or MSF, says tens of thousands of people in Upper Nile State are in urgent need of medical care. MSF says this is happening just as a new wave of violence is threatening the lives of many civilians across the state. VOA fellow Tito Justin has more from Washington.
MSF says it's becoming increasingly difficult to access the mostly severely affected areas so that aid agencies can provide humanitarian assistance to thousands of people caught up in the violence. As a result, MSF says people are being exposed to continual violence, increased displacement, disease outbreaks, and the risk of starvation. The medical charity says the continued fighting in South Sudan has caused the ordinary people to live under these inhuman conditions. Jacob Cohen, MSF's communication manager in South Sudan, says one of the hardest hit areas is Malakal.
In the past 6 weeks, we've only been able to make a single delivery of medical and food supplies to our health center in Walshaluk, on the outskirts of Malakal. There's 77 children with severe acute malnutrition in MSF's outpatient therapeutic feeding program.
MSF says it has been forced to suspend its medical activities in Melut town twice in the past 6 weeks due to the fighting, leaving 20,000 displaced people living in the Toma 1 camp without any access to medical care. This month, MSF says its hospital in Malakal received nearly 40 wounded civilians, including 16 women and 5 children, who were traveling in a truck when they were attacked by an armed group. It is unclear whether the gunmen were government or rebel forces. Some had multiple blast injuries by grenades and others had bullet wounds. Cohen says MSF still operates in the states, but it's getting more difficult.
Our only agenda in this is to deliver urgently needed assistance to those in need, regardless of their political affiliation, race, ethnicity, or the area they live in.
Cohen called on both sides to stop blocking access to aid workers in Upper Nile State.
We're calling on all parties to the conflict to allow for unrestricted access to Malakal and surrounding areas so that aid agencies can provide urgently needed humanitarian assistance.
This is not the first time that aid agencies have called on the warring parties to cease hostilities in order for them to deliver services to wounded South Sudanese civilians. Earlier this month, fighting forced the International Committee of the Red Cross to vacate Kodok, the only hospital in Upper Nile State where advanced surgeries have been taking place. MSF says despite promises from the government and the rebels that they would not block access, aid agencies continue to be denied access to operate in conflicted areas in Upper Nile, the most affected state during the 18-month conflict in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
U.S. President Barack Obama arrived in Kenya this evening to start his two-day visit to Kenya, where he will co-host a global entrepreneurship summit and hold bilateral meetings with the Kenyan government. This is Mr. Obama's first trip to Kenya, his father's birthplace, since becoming the U.S. president. VOA Gabe Joslo has more from VOA's East Africa Bureau in Nairobi.
The streets in Nairobi have been painted and polished as the city has spared no expense to welcome the U.S. president to Kenya. The big headline for the visit is a global entrepreneurship summit, the first time it is being held in Africa. President Obama, as co-host, will address the gathering on Saturday. Kenya also has special significance for the U.S. president. His father was born and is buried in rural western Kenya and served in the government of Kenya's first president. Mr. Obama last visited in 2006 as a U.S. senator, but this is his first trip as president. And that, says Kenyan Deputy President William Ruto, means a lot to his country.
President Obama is not just any other American president. He has African roots, and more specifically Kenyan roots. And so it is significant in a very different way.
While much of the visit will focus on boosting trade, the other big issue on the agenda will be security when Mr. Obama meets President Uhuru Kenyatta Saturday. Kenyan Foreign Secretary Amina Mohamed says it is a common top concern.
Our collaboration, especially on security, is historic. It's been there. Of course, we've enhanced it a lot in the last few years because of the threat, the global threat, actually, that we all face.
Kenya has been targeted repeatedly by the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab. The deadliest attack took place at Garissa University College in April, when 148 people, most of them students, were slaughtered on campus. Security has been beefed up and the capital put on a virtual lockdown for Mr. Obama's two-day visit. Nothing, however, will dampen the excitement across the country for what Kenyans have called Mr. Obama's homecoming. Gabe Joselo, VOA News, Nairobi.
Authorities in Juba say they welcome Mr. Obama's visit to Kenya. Foreign Minister Barnaba Marial says his government has strong ties with the Obama administration and wish the U.S. president could visit South Sudan.
No, we are not disappointed. We really wish him well. We wish him a successful visit to Kenya. And I think when a leader of a different state chooses to visit a particular country, it is not the privilege of the neighbors to claim that to be a part of it. I think, John, that is not, it's not possible in diplomacy. President Obama has decided to come to Kenya. First of all, that is the home of his father and his grandparents, so he has a right to go to it. South Sudan has no. You remember two days ago, the Republic of South Sudan, in fact, accepted the credentials of the new American ambassador. And the new American ambassador had messages for our president. And those messages are between the ambassador and our president. So we wish him a good visit to Kenya. We are not the only neighbor. As Tanzania and as Uganda, are they also going? As all these other small islands next to you, why South Sudan?
Mr. Minister, you have been on record saying that South Sudan is just a young country, like a baby, struggling to walk and learn things. And a lot of people are saying this baby, yes, their father is the United States of America. How would you feel if you are young, your father comes and visits your neighbor and not visit you?
No, I think he has got the schedule, as I was saying, that United States president has the right to choose which country to go to. And I think we should allow them their choice. They are a sovereign state. If the president of the United States says he wants to go to Kenya, fine, we wish him well. No question about it. No, well, he's not flying over our airspace. If he was flying over our airspace, you would ask, why is he flying over you? You ask those countries he's flying over why they are not also going to Kenya to meet them.
But you have a special relationship. That is why we are wondering how you feel. There is a special relationship between the United States and South Sudan.
Yes, our relationship is still there. I can assure you South Sudan and the United States will continue to build that relationship. A single visit to a neighboring country without South Sudan does not impact on our relationship.
Is your government looking forward to a visit from President Barack Obama in future?
I cannot say that at the moment, but we would welcome him. If he says he wants to come to South Sudan, I can assure you he will have all the welcome. You know, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, visited South Sudan before. Even Clinton, the present candidate of the Democratic Party when she was Secretary of State, visited South Sudan. We had very senior American officials who visited South Sudan before. So there is no. They will always be welcome. Should they choose to come and visit us, they will get all the red carpet they need.
And how would you react to critics who are saying maybe the reason why President Obama is turning the other eye to you is because of your bad human rights record, is because your government has not been serious about peace?
We look at all those things as challenges facing the young nation, and the young nation is doing its best to resolve our crisis. And I think they are also participating, helping us to resolve these challenges. They are challenges any state can go into. They cannot really be an issue that impact permanently on people's relationship, because the time you need your friend to help you is when you are in trouble.
That's South Sudan's Foreign Minister Barnaba Marial Benjamin speaking with me from Addis Ababa earlier today. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is some of the recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The African Union Peace and Security Council finally released its Commission of Inquiry report into alleged atrocities committed during the South Sudan conflict. The findings of the commission were to be presented last year after a visit to South Sudan by the head of the commission. The AU did not provide an explanation as to why the commission's report was delayed for so long. Earlier this year, U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, urged the Peace and Security Council to release that report and hold those cited in it accountable. South Sudan's foreign minister says the report cites no atrocities committed in Juba when the fighting broke out in December of 2013. The ceremony to hand over a draft compromise peace agreement for South Sudan by the group known as IGAD Plus was delayed in Addis Ababa, but finally took place today in the Ethiopian capital. Several speakers representing the government and the SPLM in opposition spoke at today's event, but did not comment on changes in the proposed document, which focuses on power sharing. And finally, U.S. President Barack Obama began his two-day visit to Kenya today to co-host a global entrepreneurship summit and hold a bilateral meeting with the Kenyan government. This is Mr. Obama's first trip to Kenya, his father's birthplace, since becoming the president of the United States. South Sudan officials say they welcome Mr. Obama's visit to Kenya, but were hoping the U.S. president would also visit South Sudan. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol, and that's the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Zawaj Ghali by Sultan Clinton.
Madam Taisim Susanna, in a guinea sawa. Hey, Mugar Pasena, Samana Tazawaja, Madam Taitana, who are Pibeto, Montali Abutonati. Oh, Dunia, Anabia Mulusu. Oh, Madam Taifutu.
Ruskan Mafia. Zawaja mafi fiti.
Hey, anagini dugu telefon tabeto mon. Anagumuru wa fibeta butongo. Kalita derushono, anakele mugale. Anaderu Susanna tai. Aina na pegarena. Oh, anakele mugurush mafi. Zawaja diga gali, anabamulo shunu. Oh, mama. Urusha makipaya, maradero wana. Abuto kali kalama fi. Anabamulo shunu. No, I'm telling you a lie. The bigger mamali, the beauty ara, the beauty arabia, the beauty bed. Come on, abinamara, anaderu madam tai Susanna, 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 rejaleana. Don't tai waja, iden tai waja, rastai waja, kuluyom zede. Malu ya kwadna, guru ste biga, sa waja gali biga, ze beauty ara, anabamu nusunu fi dunia de.
We have been listening to Sultan Clinton with the song Zawaj Ghali. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a pleasant weekend and join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.